Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to do a lot of flipping around in the Bible today. It's not one of my usual sermons where I preach through a book of the Bible and we go scripture by scripture. We're going to start another series next week. But I've taken this opportunity in between books of the Bible to go over some topics that I think are important for us as a church to grasp. And today we're going to be talking about faithfulness. And so I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 to start off. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, some of the passages of Scripture that we're going to be talking about are in the middle of your bulletin. But we're going to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." Now, if someone were to ask me to give a dangerous pitfall in the Christian church today, I would have to say it is the convenient Christianity mindset. The idea that our walk with Christ should fit in with our lifestyle. That the disciplines of our faith in Christ should only be exercised at the point where they are most convenient for us to accomplish. We may not think exactly this way in our minds, but our deeds show that we are okay with this thought. We pray when it is convenient. We read our Bible when it is convenient. We give when it is convenient. We serve in the church when it is convenient. This creates, at best, a sporadic Christian lifestyle that makes us virtually useless in the kingdom of God. I really feel that faithfulness is one of the key attributes of us living a Christian life that will glorify the Lord and be beneficial to our own spiritual being. Can you imagine if our military operated in with soldiers that had this kind of mindset toward their service to the country? Who would go across the globe to fight in these brutal wars for our freedom? That's not very convenient, is it? Who would keep watch all hours of the night against the enemy that is out there? That's certainly not convenient. But I am thankful for the men and women who are faithful to protect us and do what is necessary and practice the disciplines of being a soldier over and over again, faithfully doing their duty. If we didn't have those faithful men and women doing their duty as soldiers, we wouldn't have the freedoms that we have today in this country. As Christians, we are called on by our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be faithful in our service in His kingdom. So today I would like us to see from God's Word what it means to be faithful to Jesus and what disciplines He wants us to faithfully exercise. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 57. Chapter 15 in verse 57 it says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. And according to this, according to these verses, I believe we can define or have an accurate definition of what Christian faithfulness is. So, from this passage of Scripture, I believe Christian faithfulness is consistently practicing biblical disciplines based on our faith in Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that definition. Christian faithfulness is consistently practicing biblical disciplines based on your faith, our faith in Jesus Christ. So, Jesus is the reason we should be faithful. And he is also the reason we can be faithful. Now, I want us to understand that. Jesus is the reason we should be faithful, and he is the reason we can be faithful. Now, Jesus was faithful. Let's understand that. He's been faithful to us, and he was faithful when he was on this earth. Faithful to the very end. Faithful to the very end in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is what it says about Jesus and his faithfulness. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. So this passage tells us that Jesus was appointed by God to be our Savior, to be the one that would sacrifice his life for our eternal life. And he was faithful to do what he was called to do. Faithful to go to the cross and pay for our sins. Faithful to endure the shame and reproach that came with it. Faithful to take on all the mockery that came upon him. Faithful to take on all the pain and suffering that he endured. Faithful to do what he was called to do by God. And because of that faithfulness to us, that awesome faithfulness, we should be willing to be faithful to him. But not only should we be willing, we can be faithful. You know, I understand that as we talk about these disciplines that we're going to talk about, and we'll talk about prayer and Bible reading and study, and we'll talk about giving and using our gifts, all these things, I want you to understand something. God doesn't leave you alone to accomplish these disciplines. He gives you his Holy Spirit. We're told in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to give them a helper to accomplish what he wants them to accomplish. This wonderful helper is the Holy Spirit. And we can rely on him to help us accomplish what God calls us to do, to be faithful to these disciplines that he calls us to do. So not only is he the reason we should be faithful, he's the reason we can be faithful. And if we are asking him to help us to be faithful to these disciplines, he will help us and we will be faithful. It's only when we forget about the grace and power that is available to us through the Holy Spirit that we don't accomplish a faithful, consistent life. And that's what God wants from you. Understand, a sporadic hit-and-miss Christian lifestyle is not the will of the Lord for you. It is not God's will. God's will is that you have a consistent lifestyle that consistently shows your faith in Jesus Christ. Consistent. So in all these four things that we're going to be discussing this morning, there should be a regularness, a consistency to what we do. Okay? So I want us to understand that. Now, so what are the disciplines Jesus wants us to consistently practice? Well, first of all, prayer. Prayer is the first discipline that we should think of when we think about what God wants us to do on a consistent basis. I am convinced that prayer is the most important discipline in the Christian life. The longer I walk the Christian walk, the more I realize the importance and the value of consistent prayer. When I don't pray, my soul dries up. My soul gets crusty. I get messed up inside. And it's only as I return to my Lord and start talking to Him and asking Him to help me to restore my soul, to give me back the joy of my salvation, that I feel the way I ought to as a Christian. That joy is restored. That I have the confidence to live the Christian life. You know, in Luke chapter 18, in verses 1 through 8, let's turn there. Let's read Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. This is Jesus, once again, talking about prayer. He says in verse 1, it says, "Then he spoke a parable," Luke chapter 18. I know I'm kind of going quick, but it's because I've got quite a few things to cover and I value your time. It says in verse 1, it says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." You see the connection between not losing heart and praying? Do you see that? That's why I'm saying that. I've seen it in my own experience in the Lord, and here we see it right in the Scriptures. If you are losing heart, please pray always. Pray always. And he said, "There is a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.' And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.' Then the Lord said, 'Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?'" Now, understand what this passage is saying. It's saying that if we are faithful, if we are consistent in our prayers, that is what is effective. Effective prayer, prayer that gets God to work on our part, is consistent, faithful prayer. That's what we see here. Not only that, we're reminded that God is faithful. He reminds us, is God not going to avenge those who he is faithful to? Of course he is. Of course he's going to hear the consistent prayers of those who love him. And he will be faithful to answer your prayers. This is what we need to understand. Let's start and end our day with prayer. This should be the very least thing we do as we communicate with our Almighty God. When you get up, say, "Lord, help me today to live for you. Father, give me the strength and the wisdom that I need to do what you're calling me to do today." And at the end of the day, say, "Lord, thank you so much for all you did for me today. Thank you for how gracious you were." That should be the very least we do. Can't we just be consistent enough in our Christian walk to pray twice a day? But wouldn't it be great if we prayed all the time? We prayed all the time. Hey, when we're driving to work, Lord, be with so-and-so at work today. Give me an opportunity to talk to someone, so-and-so today about the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if we were consistently doing that, consistently praying? Wouldn't it be great if we were consistently praying for one another that we would receive spiritual wisdom, enlightenment, and power from the Lord? Do you think God would answer that prayer if we were faithful in that? Absolutely. I truly believe that. So, let's do that. Let's consistently pray and ask the Lord for His help. Notice Jesus points out God's faithfulness as the reason we should faithfully pray. Now, secondly, we should be faithful to Bible study. We should be faithful to Bible study. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 says this in verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, here's the analogy. As Christians, we're like babies when we first become Christians. The Word of God is milk that helps us grow as Christians. Now, in another passage of Scripture, Paul says, I'm still having to give you the milk of the Word because you're still not growing. You haven't grown enough to take the meat of the Word. So we see that there's this constant growth process that happens as we are Christians, and we are fed by the Word of God to grow. So as we're young Christians, we're fed the milk of the Word to help us grow, and as we mature as Christians, we're fed the meat of the Word so that we can continue to grow. This is something that we need to understand. If we are not consistently eating food, we starve to death. If you're not consistently feeding on the Word of God, you will starve spiritually. You will starve spiritually. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this. 'Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.'" So here we're commanded to study the Scriptures, to really study the Scriptures. Look at chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So here we are told that through biblical study, through studying the Word of God, we can become mature in our walk with the Lord. That's why it's so important that we learn how to study the Bible. I'm so thankful for Gordon in his Sunday school class, and I encourage all of our adults to go to that Sunday school class. Because not only will you learn what the Word of God is saying, but the way Gordon has it set up now is you'll learn how to study the Bible so you can know what it says. That is what you need. We all need that. We all need someone to help us to understand the Word of God, but we also need to know how we can study the Bible and understand it on our own. That's what we want to do. We want to be equipped so that we can show somebody else. Somebody in our family comes to know Jesus as their Savior, and they say, "Hey, how do I study the Word of God?" You should be able to say, "Well, let me show you. I've been doing this in Sunday school. I've been studying the Word of God in Sunday school, and we were taught how to study the Word of God, and here's how you do it." That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be faithful to studying His Word. We can be if we will just ask the Lord to help us. We need to study His Word. or else we will starve spiritually. Then thirdly, we should be faithful to give. We should be faithful to give. Turn your Bibles with me to Malachi. It's the last Bible, book of the Old Testament. Last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. It says in verse 8 of Malachi chapter 3, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Now, I want you to understand this passage. I show you these verses mainly to show you the faithfulness of God. Understand something. We rob God of the opportunity to show us his faithfulness when we don't tithe, when we don't give faithfully. When we don't give faithfully, we rob God of showing us how faithful he will be, how faithful he is to us. Now understand that. There is a connection here. God wants to show you that he is a faithful provider. He does. He wants to show you that he is a faithful provider. But he wants you to be faithful to give a little bit to him so he can really bless you financially. That's what he's saying here. Now, I'm going to use Chrissy and I as an illustration because that's who I know, okay? So anyways, Christy and I have been married close to 20 years in August now, and we have consistently given at least 10% of our income to the church, at least, okay? So that money could have gone to pay for our kids' college, right? Could have, right? We could have put aside that 10% and we could have used it to pay for Michaela's college coming up. But that would have robbed God of the opportunity to show us his faithfulness. Just this week, God showed us his faithfulness. You all were praying with us and asking the Lord to give her, she needed 10 more points on her SAT scores to get $8,000 a year in scholarship money. She got an extra 50 points on her SATs. Amen? $8,000 a year. Amen. Praise God. Now, I attribute that to God's faithfulness. Yes, she studied hard, but God was faithful. God was faithful. Not only that, this week someone laid it on that God laid it on someone's heart just this week to give her $500 for school as well. You see, God is faithful. Our God is faithful, and he is faithful to his promises. And he has promised in this passage of Scripture, if we would give a tenth of our income to him, he would bless us financially and show us how faithful he is. You're robbing yourself of a blessing, and you're robbing yourself of showing God his faithfulness to you if you don't faithfully give. Now, understand, God is faithful. He is faithful. And he wants us to give with a good attitude. In 2 Corinthians Verse 9. 2 Corinthians, verse 9. In verses 6 through 8, he shows us the attitude that we have, should have. Now, really, if you think about it, if you believe that God is faithful and he's going to bless you financially, there's no doubt that this should be your attitude when you give. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. There's that principle now. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. You see that? Once again, all these passages, they implore us to be faithful, but they confirm the faithfulness of God in each time, right? We see that we can pray because God is faithful. We see that we can give because God is faithful. He says, look, I want you to give with a cheerful heart because God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That's what we need to see. We need to see that. And when we faithfully give with a cheerful heart, God will be faithful to abound his grace toward us and to supply our needs. Okay, now, finally, we should be faithful to use our talents to serve in the body of Christ. We should be faithful to use our talents to serve in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, you can turn there if you'd like, and you can read along as I describe this passage of Scripture. For time's sake, I won't read the whole passage. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, and in other passages of Scripture as well, in Corinthians and in Romans, we are given these list of gifts that God gives to us. Some have one, some have another. You have at least one if you are trusting in Christ as your Savior. And these gifts are given to us for a purpose. That purpose is to serve the body of Christ, to serve in his church. And he wants us to be faithful and consistent in our service to him, in using the gifts that he has given us by his Holy Spirit to work and benefit the body of Christ, and to increase the body of Christ. As we are faithful to use our gifts in the church, the gospel is spread and the saints are edified. That is our purpose. That is our goal as a church, to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to see the saints edified, strengthened in the Lord. Now, let me ask you something. If we are not even faithful to attend church, how can we be faithful to serve in the church? You know, oftentimes Christy and I have thought of something that needs to be done in the church, and our routine is, okay, Lord, help us to guide us to the person that, or the people that we need to help us in this certain thing that we want to see done in your work, or that you want to see done. And then we kind of go down the list of all of our people. And inevitably, we have to say, well, they could do it, but they're not faithful. They could do it, but they're not faithful. I hate to have to say that, but that's the way it is. And it shouldn't be that way. There should be a consistency of faithfulness to the body of Christ in each and every one of us, so that when there are duties that God calls us to do, he will find us faithful. He will say, okay, I can use this person. God's not going to use people that aren't faithful. He's not. As a matter of fact, the only good servant is the faithful servant, as far as Jesus is concerned. In Matthew chapter 25, and I would like you to turn there. Matthew chapter 25, and this is my last verse that I want to leave with you. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Jesus is describing that he has given talents to certain men. And he asked them to use those talents for his benefit. And here's what he says in verse 21 to one of them. The first one he gave 5 talents to, and the man doubled those talents and ended up with 10 talents. The Lord said to him in verse 21, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, do you see the teaching that is here? What are we going to be judged for as we stand before the Lord? We're going to be judged according to how we followed the Lord and how faithful we were to do the few things that he asked us to do. The few things that he asked us. He asked us to pray. He asked us to study the Bible. He asked us to give. And he asked us to use our talents in the service of his church. If we're faithful in those few things, God will reward us. And he will say, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear when I stand before the Lord. Don't you? Hey, we can hear that. We can hear that. You say, well, I haven't been faithful. You can still hear those words. Dedicate yourself today to being faithful to what he's called you to do, and you will hear those words, good and faithful servant. That's what we need to understand. If we're not faithful, we're not good. A good servant. We're not. So let's be faithful, okay? Let's be faithful to the Lord.